This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Today, the United States Supreme Court hears a case that could affect 51 people now on death row. The convicts are Mexican nationals, and according to the International Court of Justice, American authorities failed to provide them access to diplomats from their home countries. The U.S. signed a treaty requiring it to provide that access to people accused of crimes. And so, international authorities want all the cases reviewed by U.S. courts. Here's NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
The ruling by the World Court was nearly unanimous, a 14-1 decision, with the United States and Mexican judges agreeing that the U.S. has violated a treaty signed by the President and ratified by the Senate. Indeed, it was the United States that proposed inserting into the treaty the provision giving the World Court the power to enforce the guarantee of consular access.
It was important to us because Americans all around the world were being arrested without consular access.
Thomas Pickering served for 42 years in a variety of ambassadorial and high-level State Department positions.
Because we had many more travelers, we had many more travelers in trouble.
The State Department reports that some 6,000 U.S. citizens are arrested or detained each year in foreign countries. And the consular treaty, says Pickering, has been essential in finding out when our citizens are detained and getting them help. But here in the United States, state and local governments have been ignorant of or have routinely ignored the treaty's requirement, which is how there are 51 Mexican nationals now on death row in this country who were not advised of their consular rights, and an undetermined number of from other countries. The case before the Supreme Court today was brought by Jose Medellin, sentenced to death in 1994 for the brutal gang rape and murder of two girls in Texas. Mexican authorities first learned of Medellin's conviction 4 years after his trial, and they immediately began helping him with appeals. Mexico routinely helps find or pay for well-qualified lawyers and investigators. It often helps to find witnesses in Mexico who can provide information that might persuade a jury not to impose the death penalty. In Jose Medellin's case, though, the Mexican authorities learned about him long after his trial. Without help from the consular office, the 18-year-old indigent had been represented at trial by a court-appointed Texas lawyer who, as it turned out, had been suspended by the bar for ethics violations.
This is a lawyer who just had no business representing a man who was facing the death penalty.
Sandra Babcock represents the Mexican government.
From his files, it appears he did very little to investigate the case before trial.
Years after the trial, Medellin wrote to the Mexican embassy from death row, and Mexico began helping with Medellin's appeals. But it was too late. State and federal appeals courts ruled that because Medellin had not objected to the denial of his consular access at his trial, he was barred by state and federal law from raising that objection later. That prompted Mexico to take Medellin's case and those of the other 50 Mexicans on death row to the International Court of Justice in The Hague. That court ruled in Medellin's favor and said that the U.S. courts must re-examine all 51 cases to see if the denial significantly harmed the defendant's chances of obtaining a sentence less than death. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals nonetheless upheld Medellin's conviction and noted that the Supreme Court has ruled in the past that an international treaty cannot supersede a federal law that bars raising claims like this long after the trial. Medellin appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, contending that the Consular Rights Treaty binds the U.S. government to its enforcement. The treaty and its accompanying protocols require that disputes over interpretation are to be resolved by the International Court of Justice, with that court's rulings binding on all parties. And it was this binding language that was proposed 40 years ago by the United States. Faced with all that history and a Supreme Court argument this week, the Bush administration has tried to skirt some obvious problems. First, the president's lawyers have advised the court that the administration will comply with the International Court of Justice by instructing the state courts to conduct appropriate judicial reviews. Second, the Bush administration has informed international authorities that the U.S. is withdrawing from that part of the treaty that gives the International Court of Justice jurisdiction over these issues. And finally, the administration is telling the U.S. Supreme Court today that the court has no role to play in the Medellin case. Supporting that view is Texas and its Solicitor General Ted Cruz. The treaty, he says, governs only relations between sovereign nations.
Violations of the treaty have to be dealt with at the diplomatic levels. They can't form the basis of a legal claim that you or I or any other individual can bring on his or her own behalf in court.
I think just common sense tells you that's false.
Yale Law School Dean Harold Koh has filed a brief on behalf of high-ranking former State Department officials from both Republican and Democratic administrations. Koh says, just imagine if he, an American citizen, were sentenced to death overseas without being given access to U.S. diplomats. What would critics say then?
I don't think any of them would say, well, America has been wrong, but I haven't.
The International Court of Justice agreed that the consular treaty does confer enforceable individual rights, but the Bush administration is urging the Supreme Court to reject that view regardless. Texas Solicitor General Ted Cruz.
What Medellin is asking is for the U.S. Supreme Court to be the first court in the world to take a decision from the International Court of Justice and apply it as a rule of law in our own courts. What Medellin is saying is that the International Court of Justice has already done that, and the International Court of Justice's decision trumps the prior decision of this U.S. Supreme Court.
It's not trumping anything.
Yale Law School Dean Harold Koh.
When we created a constitution, there was a supremacy clause which said treaties are the supreme law of the land. Here there are three treaties involved, and all of them were signed by the president and ratified by the Senate. And as such, they became part of the law of the United States just as much as a statute that was passed by Congress.
Indeed, even Justice Antonin Scalia, perhaps the Supreme Court's most outspoken critic of using foreign law in American judicial opinions, has said that treaties provide the one occasion where the courts may defer to international law.
When federal courts interpret a treaty to which the United States is a party, they should give considerable respect to the interpretation of the same treaty by the courts of other signatories. Otherwise, the whole object of the treaty, which is to establish a single agreed-upon regime governing the actions of all the signatories, will be frustrated.
Former Ambassador Thomas Pickering says that the International Court has often issued binding decisions from which the U.S. has benefited. Indeed, the U.S. was the first country to seek enforcement of the consular treaty. The U.S. went to the International Court over the Iranian hostage crisis and won a judgment against Iran.
It put them in the international doghouse, where exactly where we wanted them.
And, says Pickering, helped pave the way for the deal that freed the hostages. One of those hostages, L. Bruce Langen, who served as head of the U.S. Embassy in Iran, is among the former diplomats asking the Supreme Court to enforce the International Court judgment in the Medellin case. Also filing briefs seeking enforcement are 13 Central and South American nations and the European Union. Yale's Harold Koh puts the argument this way.
Great nations like great men and women keep their word, and that's what this case is about. We gave our word, we got a benefit from it. And now it's time for us to keep it, even if it's inconvenient for us to do so.
President Bush says he is keeping the nation's word by instructing the Texas courts to re-examine Medellin's case. But Texas isn't agreeing to do that. Texas Solicitor General Ted Cruz.
We respectfully believe the executive determination exceeds the constitutional bounds for federal authority.
Cruz says that the president cannot bind state governments to set aside their laws in aid of carrying out a treaty signed by the United States.
And in some 200 years, there has been literally no precedent for such a broad assertion of preemptive authority.
That is the tangled thicket facing the Supreme Court today. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.